Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for your word, which guides us, which keeps our feet upon the path. May you reveal it to us in this moment of worship. Amen. Well, you heard it for yourself. Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. And without a parable, he told them nothing, for this was to fulfill what the prophets had said. I will open my mouth and speak in parables, and I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. It's a powerful statement. So I'm wondering, did all of you hear it? Did you get it? Did you catch it? All of your questions that you've lied awake at night wondering about the meaning of life, all of those things you ponder about, here they are revealed in the parables. All the things that philosophers and theologians throughout the centuries have wrestled with, the things hidden from the foundation of the world, are revealed in the parables. These short, sometimes confusing, sometimes convoluted stories that Jesus used to teach his disciples and the people that followed him. All of you are staring at me sort of blankly. So if you're like me, you missed it as well. We know that there's about 40 or 50 parables that Jesus told in the Bible. Some of them are fairly easy to grasp. We go to them time and time again, like the parable of the prodigal son. It's one that we love, a story about a son who has gone from a long time from home and finally comes back and is welcomed home, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, another one we turn to regularly, where a man helps somebody else simply because he was in need. But then there's all of these other parables, these short ones, these irritating ones that say things like in Matthew 9, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Or, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all that he had bought, all that he had, and bought that field. Now, I said to the 9:30 people, I never understood why he didn't just take the treasure with him. That would have solved a lot of problems. And many people in the line told me coming out that that was considered stealing and that I was wrong about that parable. And then, of course, there's the parable from today. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. And the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leaven. These are perfectly clear, right? Do all of you understand them? All right, we have a truth teller here. We don't want to lie, y'all. We don't get these parables. And if we're going to speak in the speak of the language that I grew up in, these parables are clear as mud. Clear as mud. They don't make any sense. They talk about mustard seeds, and they talk about yeast, and they talk about hidden treasure, but we know intuitively that we're actually supposed to be hearing message about love and faith and justice and the kingdom of God, but they're so hard to make sense of, and they're perfectly clear as mud. When I was in college, I took a child development class, and for one of our assignments, we had to interview young children and ask them to fill in common phrases that most adults know or common idioms. And I remember interviewing 2 kids, brother and sister. They were the kids of some of my mom's coworkers. And Alan, the brother, he was about 6. He was the oldest, and he did most of the talking. And I asked him, you know the kind of phrases I'm talking about. It's raining cats and dogs, or the pen is mightier than the sword. These things that we use in our everyday language, especially on day 50 of rain or however many days it is. But I asked Alan to finish the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but... And he just thought about it for maybe a split second, and then he blurted out, but you need to be really careful, because if you're sitting on it and it leans its neck down to drink, you're going to fall right off its neck. And there were other entertaining responses that he had, like, a penny saved is not much, he said. And then one of my favorites, strike while the, and he said, the bug is close to your face. But this assignment, as humorous as it was, it helped me to understand my own struggles with the parables of Jesus. These times when Jesus was talking about something, but not actually talking about that thing which he was talking about. Because when it comes to the parables, I often felt like a kid, trying to figure out the secret language that all the adults had, these idioms that they knew that I didn't know, and try to figure them out. And many of us do the same thing. We try to force meaning out of these stories of Jesus, or even worse, we take them way too literally. We take them way too literally. And what we really need to do is just to sit with them for a minute and let them confuse us, let them frustrate us, let them irritate us. Because when something irritates you or confuses you, my guess would be is that you hold on to it and you don't forget it. And you turn it over and over again until you figure it out, right? So my hope this morning is that you'll humor me for just a minute while we wrestle with this parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. And I'm going to just put out there that most of us, when we hear the word mustard seed in conjunction with the scriptures, we immediately go and we mix these two stories of Jesus that we know. Jesus talks about a mustard seed also in Matthew chapter 20, and you perhaps know this quote. You might not know where it is, but I bet many of you know this quote. He says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And so we go straight there because it's a mustard seed and it's here and there, and we say, "Of course, I figured it out. If we just have a little bit of faith, then we'll be able to move mountains and we'll be able to do grand things with even just the tiniest amount of faith." But if you've ever taken a Bible class with Reverend Lee, you'll know that that's cheating, because that's taking the meaning of one scripture and blindly applying it to the meaning of another scripture, and it doesn't count. At least that's my interpretation of what she might say to you in class. So what she would really want you to do is study the text. Sit with it, learn a little bit about the context, and once you do that, you would understand. I've done all the research for you. I'm going to throw you a bone this morning, that in Jesus' time, if you know a little bit about the history and the context, in Jesus' time, mustard seeds and yeast were really negative things, because mustard was a weed. And it was something that a farmer never wanted in their field, because just a little bit of it would all of a sudden take over. And then yeast was often a metaphor for sin, where it just takes a little bitty bit of that to taint and contaminate a whole batch of whatever you're working on. And all of this talk and this study of weeds and small things that grow to be large things this week, as I was researching this sermon, reminded me of this huge problem we had in the southern U.S. when I was growing up with a weed called kudzu. Some of you have probably heard of it, or you've traveled there, or the weed has actually made its way here to Maryland and Pennsylvania. And kudzu is this large vining plant with leaves about as big as the palm of my hand, and it covers everything in its path. It was brought to the U.S. sometime in the late 1800s, and here's a photo of it. It covers everything in its path. And it was introduced to southern farmers as a way to control the erosion in their fields. So they planted 1 million acres of it. Great idea, but it's almost indestructible. And it slowly began to creep out of those fields onto vacant properties and onto front porches and abandoned barns. And then it would cover everything that it could. There used to be trees under that kudzu, and probably a light pole, and who knows, maybe even a house. And nothing touches it. Almost nothing destroys it. And it's completely taken over. So whether in your yard it's kudzu, or maybe it's crabgrass, or maybe it's dandelions, we have a lot of those at the parsonage, hear what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is like a weed that creeps in and invades every space, welcome or not. It grows small at first into this big out-of-control force that covers everything. And even unexpected birds and uninvited birds can find their home and nest in it. I think that this train of thought is actually onto something. Because we do believe that the kingdom of God is like this place or this thing that breaks into our world and into our lives. It's the thing that we pray for. We just did in the Lord's Prayer where we said, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, come here. Live here within us. Break into our lives. Don't just wait until we're in heaven. Do it here on earth as well. And I was chatting with Reverend Lee. She's becoming a prominent part of this sermon. About the scripture for this Sunday much earlier in the week. And I had just told her, you know, I'm going to be preaching about the parable of the mustard seed. That's all I told her. And she sat back in the chair in my office and she sort of looked at me sideways. Some of you who know her can see this glance. And she said, you know, my mom had 3 necklaces with mustard seeds in them. And then she smiled, a little sly smile. And she said, and they all sprouted. Put that in your sermon. And I've said it once already this morning, and I'll say it again. I always do what Pastor Lee tells me to do since day one, and it's always paid off. And she was actually right. She was on to something because these small, little, dried up, seemingly lifeless, tiny seeds that her mother had in these necklaces of hers, they were encased in glass with no air and no water and no soil, and yet they sprouted. And only the stubbornest, most persistent weeds can do that, can sprout when they should have no chance at life, can start to thrive when the odds are stacked against them. And you know, if you know anything about Lee's mom, which I don't assume that you should, it's very fitting that it happened to her. Because God has worked God's way into Ruth Steer, that's Lee's mom's name, Ruth's life, like no one else. She is 96 years old. And for the past 30 years, Ruth has been teaching a Bible study, a Sunday morning Sunday school class at Towson United Methodist Church faithfully every Sunday, even at 90, 91, 92, all the way up to 96. For 30 years, she's been teaching that class. And Lee tells me that there's rarely a couple days that go by that there's not a knock at Ruth's door or the phone rings where somebody from the church or the community is seeking her words of wisdom about a problem they're having in their faith life or needs to be mentored or wants to know what she thinks about the spiritual question they have or simply just wants a compassionate presence. And many decades before Ruth started teaching that Sunday school class, she was the leader of the church's youth group. And all of the youth gathered at her house day in and day out. It sounds like somebody else we know, doesn't it? And the way that God broke into Ruth's life and overtook her life with God's work and God's mercy and compassion, that witness has touched so many. If you're not a regular here, you should know that Lee, Ruth's daughter, is in her 41st year of being the youth minister and the head of Christian education at this church. So Ruth's witness has touched Lee's life, which has touched the life of every child and youth in this church. All of our kids, all of our youth, and many of our adults. Which then will touch the next generation and the next generation. And you get the point. So on and so on. So hear it again, but this time in my own words. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, or perhaps a kudzu vine, which God takes and plants in our lives and in our world, and at first it grows just a little, and then a little more. And then we begin to notice it and point it out and welcome it in, and then it takes over. It invades, it puts down deep roots in our hearts, and it puts up branches in our lives so that others can see. And then it starts compelling us to do weird things, like teach Sunday school for 30 years in a row, or mentor others who need help, or pray for people that we can't stand, or find a way to love folks that are awful to us, or stop on the side of the road to get to know a stranger, or give a portion of your hard-earned money to something that is much bigger than yourself. Or ask for forgiveness. Or tell the truth for once. Or advocate for the poor. Or whatever it is, you're the only one that knows all of those crazy things that God's work has compelled you to do in your life. So you've been warned, friends. Weeds take over. and they take control and they invade, and so it is with God's kingdom. And soon you find yourself wrapped up in God's work, just doing what Jesus called you to do. So you have a choice. You can do everything you can to keep the weeds out, or you can let them in and allow God's kingdom to take root. Of course, that's your choice. Of course, that's for you to decide. But I hope that as you're pondering it or as you're reaffirming it, that whatever you do, you'll decide to please keep wrestling and turning over those irritating and confusing and frustrating parables of Jesus, which reveal to us the secrets that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. And as you do, I pray that you may never look at a kudzu vine or a crabgrass in your front yard or a dandelion the same way again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.